back. WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net. I tell you what, amidst all the madness that is my cup craziness, as you see me from head to toe in red and rocking the red, and the issues with the Orioles, and I guess the sort of wait and see with the Ravens, we'll take a little break from sports here to talk to a guy that I've talked a lot of sports with over the course of my adulthood, my childhood, my adolescence. He is the new Baltimore County executive, and I can honestly say that I have known Don Mohler since September of 1982, and I never thought that I would have a radio show where I would be bringing him on and saying the county executive, but a lot of things have happened since May the 10th when a tragedy befell Don, as well as myself and anyone else that knew and loved Kevin Kamenetz in Baltimore County. Many of you know I'm from Dundalk. I'm a Dundalk, Baltimore County guy, Baltimore County educated. I went to Dundalk Community College, which is now CCBC, but I still call it Dundalk Community College, as well as owning a business on Hart Road for the last 20 years come this August. And I have a great affinity for Baltimore County and for the work of Jim Smith, as well as Kevin Kamenetz. But full disclosure on Don Mohler, he was my high school guidance counselor in 1982. He was literally the first human being my parents and I met when we walked into the principal's office to get a tour of Dundalk High School, and he's been my friend and my seatmate at Ravens games for the better part of this century, so that's full disclosure, but bottom line is you're running the county now, and I honestly, this is a pleasure to have you on in this capacity to talk about this incredible thing that's happened in your life and the lives around so many people around around Kevin and the, you know, the people that love Kevin and supported Kevin, and how you wound up in this position, because honest to God, Don, I don't even know how it happened. My wife sent me a text in Tampa and said, they just named Don County Executive. And I'm like, well, maybe I don't know him as well as I thought I did. So welcome aboard. I know you want to talk county issues, and I'm very appreciative that you've picked this forum to be your, at least your inaugural place. And I'm sure you're going to be taking on all sorts of media here over the next 6 months as you do the deal of running the county, right?
Well, it certainly does seem fitting that you would have the first in-depth interview talking with me in my new role. I've told a number of folks over the past few weeks that always be careful when you make plans, because very often those plans just don't come to fruition, or they take a detour that one could never envision. And certainly back on May the 9th, when I spent about 14 hours with County Executive Kevin Kamenetz, never in my wildest dreams would I imagine that 24 hours later, my good friend and friend to so many in Baltimore County would be gone far too early. And it is a night, Nestor, that I will never forget, certainly a night that his family and friends will never forget. And it's been truly a remarkable situation in the county since then. I mean, when you think about the past 3 weeks, we lost a county executive. We lost an outstanding, heroic young police officer. And then just last weekend, we were faced with, certainly localized for the most part in Southwest Baltimore County, some as well in down to your home turf, down near Turner Station, with some horrific flooding from torrential downpours. So it's been an absolutely amazing 3 weeks. But as I've said to everyone along the way, the Baltimore County folks are tough. Baltimore County folks stand together, and Baltimore County folks will get through this, and they'll come out stronger on the other side.
Don Mohler is our guest. A lot of times we sit here and talk about the Orioles and the Ravens, and we've done that many, many times, and you can look it up privately and publicly, I might add. But let's talk first off about your role and where this all came from, because I, honest to God, I'm having you on, and I have questions that I don't know about you personally or professionally. I don't even know how you got into a public service. I mean, you were my high school guidance counselor. You became a friend. You became an assistant principal. You became a principal down at Sparrows Point, and then, of course, out in Catonsville for a number of years. Then went to work for the Board of Education in Baltimore County as an assistant superintendent. I know you wanted to be the superintendent. I don't think you ever envisioned a life in that sort of public service that wasn't education oriented. I mean, you wanted to be a teacher, right? I mean, not even necessarily a principal or an executive, but literally you went into this thing, honestly, to probably be a lifer teacher, right?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, as a I was a political science major in college at Western Maryland College, now McDaniel, and really at that time envisioned myself as a career social studies teacher, probably one of those young kids way before your time. There was a TV show called Mr. Novak. Mr. Novak was a young teacher in a high school setting. You know, it just looked like something. I knew I loved young people. I loved being around young people. And it looked like a school setting was what I wanted to do. I had an uncle that was a social studies teacher forever at Hereford High School. He lived right next door to me, so I would be over at his house when he was, you know, grading papers and planning lesson plans. And we were always a political family. I mean, that part, I guess if you want to say that past is indeed prologue, when I look back, there's no doubt, excuse me, that our family was unique, whether it was grandparents, aunts, and uncles, you name it. At a Sunday dinner table, there were a variety of political opinions, and you better have one at that dinner table.
And there was a sign on the lawn back then, too, I'm sure, right?
Oh, signs on the lawn. I mean, I always say that my mother was an original Roosevelt Democrat, but we had, you know, we had conservatives, we had Republicans, we had Democrats. I mean, it was a lively dinner table. So
I always think of the Mueller's as being independent.
Yeah, right. But political engagement was just in our blood. And you ask how I ended up being on the county government side as opposed to the school system side. I spent 30 years on the school system side, and then at the end of that 30 years, had some opportunities to go out and work as a consultant really across the nation. I did some work for Nova Southeastern University. I did some work for former school superintendent in an alternatives unlimited company working on alternative education. And I was doing a number of things out as a consultant and really enjoying it. And I got a call from some folks on Jim Smith's staff who said that the county executive would like to talk to you about possibly coming over and working in county government and taking over his communication office. And Jim and I became such good friends, as you know, because we certainly have been together with County Executive Smith, that folks assumed that we had a long-standing relationship, that we knew one another for years, and nothing could be further from the truth. Actually, I had probably met Jim Smith a couple of times at different functions, but other than to say hello, really did not know him. He did not know me. But shortly
what a change
after
your life, right? Like, you had no thought about being outside of education. You had never sought a PR job or a communications job, right?
Totally life-changing. When I think back, Nestor, when you think that that was almost 15 years ago, I mean, I can remember my wife walking out to work that day. She's a French teacher, as you know. She was on her way to work, and I said, I'm going to go out and talk to the county executive about a potential job opportunity. I don't know that I'm going to take it. I don't know that he'll be interested in me, but we'll see how it goes. And then all of a sudden, 15 years later, and you look at how this thing has played out, it's truly remarkable. So I spent 6.5 years with almost 7 years with County Executive Smith, and then just about 8 years with County Executive Kamenetz until that fateful night of May the 10th.
15 years you've been doing this. That's incredible to me. You know what I mean? I still think of you. I'm sure many in the audience think of you as Principal Mueller or teacher or vice principal but the education part, 15 years in this sort of capacity, I mean, that's a hell of a run for anybody, right? I mean, two county executives and now to be placed in that chair, right? I mean, I guess the people that decided that you should be the county executive understood that 15 years of standing outside of that doorway, you know how this operates, right? But never anything you ever saw. I don't ever think of you ever wanting to run for office, right?
No, not certainly not to run for office. I mean, I'm humbled by the opportunity. As I said, the awful way that I end up in this chair. You know, the reality is that you go to bed one night, and as individuals know, the county executive was very much involved in a gubernatorial race Yeah, I believe he was poised to win a Democratic primary in a gubernatorial race. He had incredible energy. He for the past 18 months, was putting in 18 hours a day. I mean, his days would start by always taking his boys, who he absolutely adored, to Gilman, and nothing, I mean, it was written about a lot in the days after his passing, but nothing got in the way of him taking those boys to Gilman. I mean, that was his opportunity to spend some time with his boys, to have some quiet time, to talk about what was going on in their lives. And it mattered not what was on his calendar. He was going to be with those boys in the morning. So you're going on this pace. You're assuming this is what you're going to have until for the final 6 months. And then I get this just awful call at around 2:15 in the morning from the assistant fire chief saying, "Don, you probably want to get dressed and get to St. Joseph Hospital as quickly as possible." And as folks know, on that particular night, the county executive woke up around 2 in the morning with fairly serious chest pains and told his wife, Jill, that they probably needed to get to the hospital. They made it around the corner to a volunteer fire station where an ambulance came and transported the county executive to St. Joe's, and roughly 2 hours later, he was gone. And I think we were all in a state of shock. I think Baltimore County was in a state of shock, and truly, people all across Maryland were in a state of shock. It just, it almost seemed like you kept waiting for someone to come in and say, "Well, pinch me, wake me up. This really can't be happening."
I mean, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, and my first entree was Dan Rodericks had shared something literally at about 10 minutes to 6 in the morning.
Right.
I'm an early riser, as you know, and I saw, I just was blown away, and I think back to, you know, to that day and seeing you stand out in front of this and not realizing at some point they would want you to assume this role. I don't understand enough about this, and you know, what the associate or the assistant, you've been an assistant principal, you've had assistant principals and all that. Obviously there's a lieutenant governor and how all of that works. I literally that day had no idea. Like, I thought to myself, who runs the county? I mean, I think in my picture of Lyndon B. Johnson getting sworn in, right, even before my time, but I've seen so many pictures of it, of thinking like, well, there immediately needs to be somebody running the county today. I didn't even know who that was, and I don't even know how that works district to district. So for that, I saw a lot of you, and everything happened so suddenly, and I thought the tributes to Kevin were really incredible, man. And I was somewhere that day with a former law school mate of Kevin, who I'll allow to remain anonymous because he's involved in my business endeavors. But he said to me that day that he was so proud of Kevin, that he had run into Kevin, and he thought Kevin was one of the smartest people that he'd ever known in so many ways, in topics of policy and the things that only a really astute lawyer, historian, and someone who sat in that chair for a couple of terms could know about the county and law and as it pertains to citizens. And I'm sure a lot of that works your way under your desk, but I know you stood in awe of Kevin's knowledge and thinking, here's a qualified human being to do this, right?
One of the great things, Nestor, and you've picked up on it right away, about the tributes is that they captured Kevin Kamenetz, this guy that was my friend, this guy that was the county executive. I mean, they hit it dead on in that they didn't attempt in any way to sugarcoat what Kevin Kamenetz was, and they zeroed in on his strengths. You know, I had the opportunity to talk a fair amount in those days after that untimely passing about who he was. And folks would say, you know, he often was the smartest person in the room. I said, well, we can clear that up. He was always the smartest person in the room. People would say he could be a little impatient. I'd say, well, yeah, we can clear that up too. He could be very impatient. He had this really deep belief that government ought to be able to get things done for folks, and that it ought not get stuck in this sort of bureaucratic wonderland. And he could get angry, and he could get pointed, and he could certainly, and Nestor, you will appreciate this aspect, I think, almost more than anyone. And this has to do with his relationship with the press. If I had one reporter, and I don't want to exaggerate, if I had one, I had five or six say to me, Don, one of the things we all appreciated, without a doubt, not even close, no one's even in second place. He is the most accessible county executive, elected official, forget county executive, the most accessible elected official we've ever covered. He never dodged us. He never ran from us. He never ran away from the difficult questions. And what they appreciated is that he knew there would be days when they would be really mad at him because they thought he wasn't being as forthcoming as they would like. And they knew there would be days when that he would be mad at them because he thought they were being unfair or critical in a way that wasn't justified. But they knew that at the end of the interview, they would shake hands, go back, and come back and do it another day. Because Kevin Kamenetz, at his core, knew that a free press was critical to democracy, critical to this thing, that with this whole democratic endeavor that our founding fathers dreamed up back in 1776. And he knew there was this give and take, and he trusted himself. He had enough confidence in his ability that he was not afraid to sit down and give the press access, because he knew that when you give the press access, you give the public access. And I just think that is something that certainly in this, again, I don't want to get into the current presidential situation, but in the current atmosphere that we're seeing in the United States, an elected official who has that view of the media, who can have a give and take, who can get emotional at times, but then come back and do it the next day and recognize it comes with the territory. I think that's exactly the kind of leader we're all looking for in the United States of America.
Don Moeller joins us. He is our county executive in Baltimore County, where WNST is based, as well as my homeland of Dundalk. Now, I live in the city, and I think Kevin was famously able to sort of get the county and the city as one in believing all that. You know, Don, I guess the biggest question, and you and I have literally not spoken a word other than this public conversation we're having, and I think everyone knows you and I have been friends forever. You were an original Huddle member on my first radio show. You've been a recurring character in my life. We sit together at Ravens games, but you know, I'm wondering out loud as a Baltimore County owner, a business owner, and somebody there, is your job to run it the way Kevin would have run it, or is it your job to run it the way Don runs it? I don't even understand how the passing of the torch happened. Can you just clear me up over the last few weeks? Like, I literally don't know how you became county executive, other than to see pictures of you being named county executive, and I don't even know the process of how it works when this kind of a tragedy happens, because there's not a whole lot of precedent for this, right?
No precedent. Unprecedented in Baltimore County, certainly. One of the strengths of the county code and the county charter is a really structured succession plan, so that when the county executive passed on May the 10th, immediately the county administrative officer, and the way I describe that for folks is that if you lived in a city, if you were in a city government, this is the person you would refer to as the deputy mayor. So in county government, that person is called the county administrative officer. Really runs the day-to-day operation of county government, makes sure the trains continue to run on time. And that individual is a gentleman that's been in county government for a long time by the name of Fred Homan. So immediately once the county executive passed, Mr. Homan became acting county executive, and he can remain in that role for up to 6 months. And the county council could leave him in that role, or they have the option to appoint someone else within that time period, but with no specific time structure. It does not say you have to appoint someone in a week. As I said, it can go out to all the way to 6 months.
This could be a real catfight in a lot of places, right? Like this, yeah, this would be a real political pull at some point, right?
Again, I feel really, really good and proud of the county in the sense that there was none of that. I mean, Fred Homan and I have been friends for 20-some years. All of the folks at county government worked well. We have good relationship with the county council. So as things began to evolve, Several council members contacted me and asked me if they decided to appoint me, would I be willing to complete the county executive cabinet's term? And I said, certainly, it would be humbling, I would be honored, and I would do everything within my power, if given that opportunity, to make sure that when we walk out of there on December the 3rd, that we turn over Baltimore County to the next administration in a way that would make my boss proud. I know he's sitting on my shoulder. I know he's smiling down. You asked the question, you know, do you continue to focus on the county executive's priorities? And the answer to that is absolutely. I mean, Kevin Kamenetz was a fierce education advocate. He had strong feelings on public safety and made public safety a priority. His views on diversity and diversity being our strength are well known throughout the state and actually beyond state borders at this time. He was such an advocate for immigration rights and diversity. And he also knew, he was courageous enough, Nestor, to know that our infrastructure is crumbling and that if we're going to be, you know, County Executive Kamenetz often said that he loved Baltimore County. He's like you and me, Nestor. He grew up here. He grew up in Lock Hern. He's raising his family here. He and his wife live in Owings Mills. They're raising their two boys here in Baltimore County. And he would often say, you know, I want my boys to be able to continue to live here, to raise their family here. I want my grandchildren to be able to grow up here. So he loved this county the way you and I love this county.
Yeah, I would call him unapologetically progressive, literally. And probably his politics mirrored mine in most cases that I knew about. You know, I didn't have every conversation or know every issue, but certainly he was a guy that I was going to get behind for governor, and I know that we all believed that he would be at least, you know, a part of that conversation in regard to Larry Hogan and everything that's going to happen here over the next 6 months. But then the question ends, well, what happens to the county, right? And I guess that's where you come in, and you were elected to come into this.
Yeah, and I've been so blessed and so fortunate, Nestor, to have spent not only the 15 years standing next to Jim Smith, standing next to Kevin Kamenetz, but on the school system side, I had a very close working relationship with County Executive Dutch Rupersberger. And I've known Dutch forever and watched carefully how Dutch ran the county. I mean, one of the things that I think people feel very, very good about in Baltimore County, you can go back for decades and look at the quality of leadership that we've had in this county, from the Ted Venatoruses to the Donald Hutchinsons, to the Dennis Rasmussens, to the Dutch Rupersbergers, to the Jim Smiths, to the Kevin Kamenetz. I mean,
you just mentioned my whole lifetime. So for six human beings, and my dad, you know, we campaigned back in Venatoruses and Hutchinson in 76 and 80, 84. You know, my parents were very involved with a sign on the lawn and going up to Colgate Elementary and handing out, you know, all of that stuff. My dad was politically inclined in that way because he stood in soup lines back in the 20s when he was a kid up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of turmoil in the Baltimore County side of things, right? I mean, it's been a very stable sort of operation, right?
Stable with people who have a respect for communities, have a respect for how this county operates, and just know how to make government work. I mean, one of the things that Kevin Kamenetz will be remembered for and honored for decades is that he truly recognized that while Baltimore County's strength was its past, he also recognized that the Baltimore County of 2018 was not the Baltimore County of 1958. So he made some really courageous decisions when you look back, Nestor, that right now look to be incredibly visionary. For example, he had a task force that studied the implementation of body cameras. And that task force met for well over a year, and they came back and they took the approach that they recommended that Baltimore County go slow, take a wait-and-see approach, see how this issue evolved across the nation. And The easiest thing to do for many, many leaders, since this was a blue ribbon task force, was to say, all right, they recommended that we should take it slow. Let's do that. But in his gut, he knew that communities would be better protected, and in fact, police officers would be better protected if we, as opposed to slowing down body cameras, he expedited it. He put more money in. He accelerated the implementation plan, and now, 3, 4, 5 years later, he looks like a genius because he was out on the cutting edge of that. He knew at his core that diversity being the strength that it is in Baltimore County, that we didn't want immigrants who were living here to be terrified that they were going to be torn away from their parents and sent back to countries that they didn't even know when they've only ever lived in the United States. Courageous points of view. He knew, for example, that if Baltimore County was going to continue to thrive in the future, we need to be able to provide housing for folks at all kinds of income levels. So he wasn't afraid. I had one political reporter grab me, and I hope they're wrong. I hope they're wrong. My optimism, you know, I'm a cockeyed optimist, says to me they're
wrong.
Which
is hard to be these days, by the way, Don. It's getting harder every day.
Yeah, but we've got to continue to try to be cockeyed optimists. But this one reporter said to me, you know, I worry that Kevin is a fading breed of an elected official who had enough confidence in himself to study an issue and then do what was right and then deal with the chips when they fell, but not just do the expedient thing. And that certainly was his strength, his confidence, his knowledge, his intelligence. But also, he often quoted Hubert Humphrey. There's this wonderful Hubert Humphrey quote where he basically talks about the purpose of government is to take care of those that are the most vulnerable among us. And that was a driving force for Kevin Kamenetz. I mean, he was driven by that. He was driven by trying to make Baltimore County the kind of place where everybody would want to live and raise a family. And then, of course, he was driven by his own family. I mean, at his core, this guy was a husband. This guy was a dad. And that's what makes this tragedy so heart-wrenching.
Don Moeller joins us. He is the Baltimore County Executive. Don, I'm going to give you two and two here to sort of towel off and get a little bit of water. Well, I send everybody out to BaltCOGOV on Twitter. That's the official Baltimore County Twitter page. I actually follow it. It follows me. And it's BaltCOGOV. We have so many Baltimore County sponsors around here, and I'm going to get every single one of them into this break. Pizza John's, of course, our friends over in Essex. We're actually saw Jim Smith the day that they dedicated the new Pizza John's. Back Riverneck Road, they've been doing it 50 years, just like we've been doing it. Go grab yourself a pizza over there. My gosh, where do I start? Michael's Cafe in Timonium, where I sat with Gene Ubriaco on Friday night and talked hockey, and more hockey in a time when we're trying to hoist Lord Stanley's chalice. The greatest crab cakes, the split-level soup, the premium steaks, the sports bar, the old lounge, it's all there at Michael's Cafe, including the incredible outdoor deck where they had great music there on Friday night. Night as well. I want to give a shout out to King Discount Liquors. Give the King Ring out on Pulaski Highway in Rosedale, another Baltimore County business. Fremont Mortgage based in Cockeysville. My man Carl Delmont always doing it there. Don't make a 30-year mistake by choosing the wrong lender. You need the right lender. Also, Royal Farms. They're all over Baltimore County. That's where I get my gas. Make sure you're using the app. You download that. You get the chicken and the Western fries free of charge is the way they do that. Did I hit all my Baltimore? Al Seafood in Essex. That's Essex. I got to get that in there. Oh, and of course, Costas as well over in, that's Don's old stomping ground. I mean, they call him Catonsville. I call him Dundalk, but he spent some time over in Sparrows Point as well. I know you needed some water, man, because you were going on and on. And listen, I've heard you talk about Kevin for a month now, and now over the next 6 months, there's the Kevin's on your shoulder, but then real things happen. And obviously, from what happened in Perry Hall a few weeks ago with Officer Caprio and the incredible fallout of that that still continues, as well as whatever's going to happen in Ellicott City. And Don, it's amazing to me. I've lived here my whole life, and when the Ellicott City tragedy happened the first time, the second time, I always think of it as Howard County, but it sort of borders both in sort of an incredible way. And I know it's literally down the street from everything you know in Catonsville.
Absolutely.
That you know those people and every one of them. I was headed to the airport to get on a plane to fly to Vegas for the Caps last week. And, you know, Eddie Frankovic is from Ellicott City. He's on the Howard County side. I mean, the video, I haven't been over there, and I know people that are involved, and I know business owners. I can't imagine the horror of all of that.
Nestor, I came home and told my wife after touring it the morning after the storm. I stopped home before running back to the office, and I just said to her, there are no words. There are no words. There are these iron, and folks who have been to Ellicott City will know what I'm talking about. As you go over the bridge on Frederick Road into Main Street, Ellicott City, there are these historic-looking wrought iron lampposts, beautiful lampposts. And they were flattened as if they were pancakes. I mean, they were just the surge of this water.
Water's powerful, man. Like,
At its core, it is a... It's a story about people, and there's just one story after another, and it just breaks your heart. I talked to an individual who owns two restaurants, who had owned two restaurants at the time of the previous flood less than 2 years ago, and they had decided at the time that they weren't going to reopen them as restaurants, but they were going to put some retail on the first floor of the one and two apartments on top of that. And then the other restaurant opened up four apartments, building on the need for residential in old Ellicott City. And they had been working and renovating them. They were 2 weeks away from putting those apartments on the market for the first time since the first flood when this hit. And they're destroyed again. Poor Tally's restaurant, and there's stories after story. I mean, if I start naming them, I'll leave them out. But I know a young man by the name of Evan Brown who had done a spectacular job renovating Poor Tally's restaurant in Ellicott City. Just spectacular job. And my wife and I had been there less than a month ago, and it was beautiful. Again, destroyed again. Bean Hollow, a coffee shop where my granddaughter worked, had been totally destroyed in the last flood. They came back, rebuilt it again, destroyed again. So the stories just go on and on. And we did get significant flooding, as you indicated, in Catonsville as well. As a matter of fact, Catonsville actually had 10 inches of water, Ellicott City 8. And as the head of emergency management told me, Nestor, the next day, he said, Don, you have to put this in perspective, that a 1,000-year storm is considered to be when you get 8 inches of rain in a 24-hour period. Catonsville and Ellicott City got 10 inches and 8 inches of rain in 4 to 5 hours. It was incredible. I mean, in Catonsville, backyards were flooded, basements were flooded. I've yet to speak to anyone, and it's not hyperbole. I said to my wife, again, this morning in church, because some folks were talking, I said, you know, I've still not met anyone in Catonsville who did not have a significant amount of water in their basement. So it's been a traumatic couple of weeks. You mentioned this heroic young police officer, Amy Caprio, who, by all accounts, just an outstanding young woman, a terrific wife, a daughter. I think of you and your love for animals. Amy had a clear love for animals and dogs, and her future just laying out in front of her. She was a leader. She was someone who was going to go on and have a very long and successful and a leadership career in the Baltimore County Police Department. And it's cut short just like that. So it has been a very challenging few weeks, but I've said, you may have heard me say it. I said there was this incredible moment at County Executive Kamenetz's funeral where Jill Kamenetz, his wife, spoke so beautifully, so eloquently. And near the end of her remarks, she looks to her boys down in the front row and she says, guys, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And that has stayed with me. I've carried that with me And when I look at the past 3 weeks, I keep saying, and I'm so inspired by the way Baltimore County folks have responded to each of these tragedies, that I just, if I could, I'd look every one of the 830,000 in the eye and say, we're going to be okay. We're going to hold hands. We're going to go forward together. And we're going to make everyone proud in this next 6 months.
Well, test you, right? I mean, you know, when you have this officer, and then you have, several days later, you have the flood. I mean, you're testing all sorts of parts of the government, of the police, of various you know, people that come and try to help in these scenarios. We lost a young man in the flood as well, you know, who was there to help people. Mm. All of this goes on, and you've known about this for 15 years, sitting on the right side of Jim Smith and the left side of Kevin Kamen. It sits at your desk. So, you know, I really tip my cap and admire what you're trying to do here over the next 6 months. And if I don't get to talk hockey with you after the Caps win this week, or baseball when the Orioles deal off Machado, or can't see you on Facebook, or, you know, my wife's wondering if you're still going to sit at the Ravens games with us, but I figure it'll all go back to normal at some point for us.
Well, let me clear that up for Jen. We've already had that discussion on multiple levels, and I said, that Sunday during Ravens games, I will still be in my seat at 5:13. That's about family and friends. And what I
hey, honey, Moeller's still sitting with us. I know she can hear her out the other side. That's fine.
But what I've said, Nestor, it has been so inspirational. And I will take because your audience is so social media savvy. We've asked people to actually tell their stories of inspiration, particularly those where we've had these incredible stories of neighbor helping neighbor. I mean, folks just going over, you know, bailing people out.
I know. I'm a Baltimore County guy. I grew up in Dundalk. That's where we did things. We did it that way in White Marsh. You know, we do that way downtown. We try to anyway. I've been trying to do that on Hart Road for 20 years, right?
Everybody just showed up to help. And it's been awe-inspiring. So we've asked people to go on Twitter and Facebook and hashtag BaltCo Neighbors Care. It's BaltCo Neighbors Care. And tell your story, because it's at times like these when it's easy to hang your head and become despondent. You say, no, no, no. And again, I'll go back to my good friend Kevin Kamenetz. I said to the staff, and it was certainly the hardest thing I ever had to do, was to make those calls at 4:30 and 5 that morning to tell the staff that we had lost our friend, that we had lost the county executive. But I had to tell them the next morning. I called them all together, and I said, you know darn well you can hear him. He said, okay, we've had 24 hours. We've had 24 hours to be sad. Now let's go. You all have work to do. And that's the kind of spirit that I sense throughout this county. It's why people move to Baltimore County. It's why people love Baltimore. You just did the tour around the Beltway of your sponsors. I mean, from the incredible pizza at Pizza John's to the unbelievable crab cakes at Michael's, to mortgage companies, to liquor. I mean, listening to you do that, we need to give you a job in the Economic Development Department. But it's true.
Temporary, though. It's only through December.
We've got incredible businesses, large and small. We've got Sparrows Point roaring back. You know, going to be 17,000 new jobs there. We retained McCormick Spice. This is an Bank of America expanding. This is a wonderful, outstanding school system. So this is a great place to settle, to raise a family, to remain here. It just makes you very, very proud. And you know, you mentioned, Nestor, I'm going to go back to the police officer. The day of Officer Caprio's funeral, to have been in that procession and watch thousands, and I mean thousands of people line the Beltway, get on top of overpasses to basically say, thank you, officer. And I had one police officer that day say to me, you know, Don, people really do like us. And it's so easy to forget that and get jaded in our society. But the men and women who protect us, these heroes that go out there each and every day to risk their lives so we can be safe, we can never take that for granted. And as long as I'm in this job for the next 6 months, I will never take that for granted. And the commitment I make to you and to anyone else is I will work as hard as I can for 6 months to carry on in the tradition of Kevin Kamenetz and Jim Smith and Dutch Ruppersberger, all those folks who have been outstanding county executives.
But are the Caps going to win the Stanley Cup? That's the important thing.
I hope so. As I said to you, for the folks out there who may not know, I will tell you that I have cursed Nestor many times. I told him the last thing I needed was one more sport to get my stomach in an uproar. And because of Nestor, I tuned in here come playoff time. I am a Johnny come lately to hockey and a Johnny come lately to the Caps.
Isn't it great? Isn't it exciting?
Nestor has me totally engaged to the point where I'm calling people the next morning after the save the other night. And Nestor, you've watched hockey for years. I watched it as a little kid when I'd go down and watch the Clippers and Marcel Paille and that era.
By the way, had dinner with Gene Ubriaco who founded the second version of the Clippers. We sang the Clippers fight song right there on the first Barstool. So that was
as a young boy, my brother and I and our buddies would hop on to number 8 and we'd go down to the Civic Center and we'd watch the Baltimore Clippers.
When you Baltimore Clippers. I
got away from it. But that again, knowing very little about hockey, that save the other night is one of the most I've seen, and I think I've mentioned both of them to you. I actually have seen two of the most athletic plays in this play during this run of playoffs for the Capitals that I've seen made in any sport. One was which cap was it that tipped the goal in that with the puck was deflected, it was in midair, and he flipped it in for the goal. That
might have been incredible. Eller, but go ahead, keep going.
Yeah, and then the other night that I've watched that save 10 times and I'm still not sure how the goalie gets the stick over there. And does that. So just remarkable.
All right. Well, I tell you what, you got to go back and run the county. Appreciate the visit and the inaugural visit. And we'll have all the tough questions for you the second time around. I know. When does your appointment end to this?
We will inaugurate a new county executive on December the 3rd. So we're going to work hard for 6 months. And we're going to see if we can't turn this county over in really good shape to whoever comes in and becomes the 14th county executive.
Sprinting to the finish line is the way you're saying it, right?
Say that again?
Sprinting to the finish line, yes.
We are going to sprint to the finish line, and we're feeling good about it. And again, I just say to folks, it's a time to heal. It's time to move forward. And I just keep reminding everybody, we're going to be okay. So, Nestor, it's been great to catch up. I'm delighted that it's you that we do the first in-depth interview with. And yes, don't give my seat away in 5/13. I think we'll be able to fit that in the fall schedule.
All right, so look, I went through all of this stuff here, all the serious issues from police officers and obviously the floods in Ellicott City. I've gone through some sports. I've gone through your background and your role. The thing I want to leave you with is every single time I talk to you, I learn something. So we've been talking for 42 minutes now. I had no idea what Mr. Novak was or that it so inspired you onto your life that I have put Mr. Novak up here. And this is the beauty of the modern era. A kid like me has Wikipedia, and a guy like you who educated a kid like me back in 1982 at Dundalk High School that I want to know. So Mr. Novak was a dramatic series starring James Franciscus in the title role. It aired on NBC for 2 seasons. But, one of the things about it, not only did it win all sorts of awards in 2 years as Black and White, but Burgess Meredith was involved in this. Beau Bridges, so many stars. Robert Culp, Kim Darby, Mickey Dolenz, Leo DeRocher was a member of. So this was an incredible cast. Joey Hetherington. I mean, all sorts of celebrities back in the 1960s. So now you force me to go out to Netflix or Hulu or wherever I can find it and maybe watch the first edition of Mr. Novak to see what inspired you 55 years ago now.
To study political science and go become a social studies teacher at Lansdowne High School. Absolutely. With the one and only James Francisco, and I believe Burgess Meredith was the principal, actually. I think that's the role that he played.
Dean Jagger, Burgess Meredith, and James Franciscus. There it is. It's a drama, and I'm sure you can find it if you look real hard on YouTube. But I have never heard of it. I've never seen it on Channel 20 or 45 when I was a kid. It never ran a rerun. So for that, no wonder I never heard of it. It won 47 awards from various educational institutions, including the National Education Association.
But you weren't even born.
Ed Asner was involved. Martin Landau was on. June Lockhart. Look at Ed Asner. Look at the celebrities that were. I got to go check this out. So of all the things you've taught me, that's your lanyap. That's the 13th donut that you're going to throw in there for me.
There you go.
Don Moeller is the new county executive, and we're going to wish him well. And I will see you between now and then. I'm sure at an Orioles game or a Ravens game or somewhere like that. I will miss your Facebook post, but they will return on December the 4th. How about that?
Well, Nestor, thank you and Jen and to all of your listeners, everybody throughout Baltimore County who's been so supportive. I can't thank them enough. It's been very, very gratifying, and I will see you soon.
WNST is a Baltimore County business. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson. Boy, there's a Towson part where our tower, and I've been paying taxes as a good resident for 20 years, beginning on August the 3rd. My Dear Orioles campaign will begin in a couple of weeks. You'll be reading about that, and obviously I'm out in Vegas trying to win a Stanley Cup here this week with my old pal, Barry Trotz, who and I've known Moeller longer than I've known Trotz, and I've known Trotz since 86. How about that? Nasty at WNST.net finds me. I'm on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere that Baltimore County goes around the world. We serve you. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and WNST Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore sports.